All right, so I'm Design Punk. This is McFly. I'm from the USA, and he's from Germany. We're going to be talking about the difference between the American and the German-speaking or European hacker scenes. So I'm going to give you, for the one person in this room who doesn't know what 2600 is, it's basically the closest thing that we have to a hacker organization in America, and as most of you know, it's a magazine that has meetings that meet first Friday in towns all over the U.S., Canada, the rest of the world, and that's pretty much it. So people who meet at these meetings also have their own thing sometimes. They sometimes have their own special names. Sometimes they throw their own cons or do other things. The other biggest hacker organizations that happen in the U.S. is, as you know, this con thing. And I could probably name 10 to 15 a year that happen. And these are all hosted by individual people, their individual places, and there's not a lot of connection between the different scenes. So that's, I mean, I'm sure you guys all know that's basically the hacker scene here in America. So he's going to tell you about how CCC works, and we're going to start talking about how it's different.
Okay. Well, the first thing what is completely different from the CCC to 2600 is that we are a top-bottom organization, we call it this way. So we have a main official organization. It was for Germany, but it grew a bit, and now it's mostly the German-speaking countries and a bit the Netherlands. Under this German main CCC, we call it Verein. You don't have anything like that in your American law system. It's an own law person. Under this, you have the local CCC parts, who sometimes call themselves different, but all of them are the CCC parts. If you want, this is for all the cities. We have at the moment 12 so-called Erfachkreise, which are the bigger meetings, who are regularly at least once a week. They usually have a room. They usually have real members, so you go there and sign up and sometimes pay money, monthly, weekly, whatever they have. And then we have the so-called Chaos-Treff, which are the smaller meetings. If you want to do some, you just write an email to a mailing list and say, hey, hello, I'm whatsoever in what's a small city, and I want to set up a Chaos-Treff, and then you have a Chaos-Treff. We have, at the moment, about 40 Chaos-Treffs.
I think it's important to say at this point that the rooms that they have are not just some room in a building or a university that they meet in once a month. They have an actual physical rented space that is open to them 24 hours a day. They can go to at any time, and that's what their member dues go to pay for, and it also goes to pay for things like congresses and projects that they do.
For the things we do, we also have a magazine, we also have some radios, I think at the moment 4 or 5. We are planning on a TV show. We are having some cons and all the stuff you also have.
Basically, they're much more organized. Well, they're German. So now that you have the basic idea, we want to just tell you how we individually fit into those scenes. I've been involved in the hacker scene for about 5 or 6 years now. I started by one of the founding members of the 2600 meeting in Colorado, 720, that graduated after a few years and to Brooklyn. I've been helping out on various conferences, both here in the U.S. and in Germany. I live at the Hacker Halfway House. What else do I do? I used to be part of a private radio organization. I give talks at various congresses, and that's pretty much me. It's pretty much how I fit into 2600 and the American hacker scene.
Well, I'm with the CCC for 10 years. I think I joined in 1996. I've been in the first Congress in 1997, which is the injury thing between Christmas and New Year's Eve. I'm doing radio shows and the hacker radio show since 4 years. Have been organizing a local con, have been organizing with a hack train. What else?
Hack train is a train that they rent to go to the Congress, and they have a whole train, just hackers. Pretty cool.
Network
everywhere.
Network, PP11, electricity on every place, and sometimes wireless network, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to start comparing and contrasting what we have to what they have. We're going to start by talking about how the groups came together initially. So, actually, I don't know a whole lot about this for American hacker culture. I think 21st Century Magazine started in 1984, and the meeting started sometime shortly afterwards. The magazine, of course, is run by one person, Emmanuel Goldstein, out of New York. And his idea is that, I mean, any meeting that happens between hackers in the public space on Friday, the first Friday of every month at 5 p.m. is a 2600 meeting. And pretty much anything else that happens in the hacker community outside of that is not considered 2600, according to Emmanuel. So this is basically the beginnings, the baseline of our hacker culture, and everything else is built up from that. Of course, there were some cons before then, and the cons have always been sort of separate but equal from the 2600 scene. They borrow from each other a whole lot. So that's what we mean by top to bottom and bottom to top. We started with this very loose, basic ideal, and everything that we have in our culture is built up from that. And this is sort of the opposite is what happened in the CCC.
Yeah. The CCC was founded after an article in a left-wing paper in Germany. Most of the people, when it was founded, were from Hamburg. At that time, Germany was divided. And they decided to meet up in the so-called Redaktion of the... I need to excuse for my English. For the Tagesspiegel, maybe who of you have been in Germany, this is really the main left-wing publishing. The first meeting was in Berlin. The first city where they really had a small kind of organization was in Hamburg. After that, the German CCC was founded. It began with Berlin and founded. So we had then two. Then they started the magazine. I think somewhere in 1999-something, they started the radio called Chaos Radio in Berlin, the most famous one, which is on a commercial broadcast main station in Berlin. So not like all the other hacker radios, on a more smaller radio station, but on nearly the biggest station in Berlin. And yeah, then all the people came in, wrote mail to the CCC and said, well, I'm in Stuttgart, I'm in Karlsruhe, I'm in Bielefeld, which is a city that does not exist. I'm whatever, and they started up building Chaos Trap there, writing to the main organization saying, I want to do this, and, well, you show up on the Congress then, and after a time you get someone promoted to Erfahrkreis, where when you're Erfahrkreis, you can officially say, we are the CCC, which is a big thing in Germany, just to say that. Well, and so it grew up to, I think, somewhere about 4,000 members at the moment. Real members. The scene itself is much bigger because very many people say, well, I really like the CCC and I like the things they do, but I don't want to be really member at the moment because the $2 or €2 a month is just too much money for me. It's really the main reason.
I spent about 6 weeks, about 2 weeks or 2 months total in Germany last year, and I met so many people involved with the hacker scene out there. I would say that they were more involved than the average people that you meet here. And maybe 15% of them were actually members. So, well, they have state health care and state college. So, in my experience, most of them are students. But
very many students. And in Germany, it's a good thing to say, I'm in the CCC, so you usually get good jobs. So our university, the main administration students, are all from our local Chaos Trap.
We'll talk about that in a second, though. Do you want to talk briefly about the other hacker organizations in Europe?
In Europe?
In Europe. THC, the Netherlands.
Yes. I would start with the Netherlands. Those are the people who, for historical reasons, as we invaded them, couldn't call themselves the CCC. Most of them call themselves people from hell. They're mainly a pot-smoking group of people throwing big cons once a year and big camping events every 4 years, doing really good work.
And still significantly more organized than us.
Yeah. And they use the same infrastructure as the CCC on many things. So we are very close together. Those people helped out with our network. We build up at our cons, and we do a lot of the work at What the Heck, which is the con in the Netherlands, or the big meeting, and the camping thing, and, well,
THC.
So it's really close.
Finally. THC, finally.
We have three groups in Germany who mostly overlap in persons with the CCC, but they do the, well, what some people call hardcore stuff. You maybe heard of THC. You have maybe used some tools from them, like Hydra, the scanner, and Arma, the...
THC is the hacker's choice, just in case there's any confusion out there.
Yes.
Oh, and in case we didn't say it, CCC, Chaos Computer Club.
Yeah.
Any other acronyms we'll explain?
We'll try to explain them.
All right, okay.
They are those guys who write many tools, write security exploits. Then we have Fenoid, who don't write that much tools, but are exploiting much more. They blow up BlackBerry between the years. Maybe you've heard of that. Last year, they blow up the SAP data warehouse system, where you usually have a website where you can log into an application server and log into.
Not really blowing up, but. Okay. So how we came together initially, all of the different teams are.
Then we have
different. Oh, sorry.
Team Teso, which is a bit not so active at the moment, but they're also one of those guys who just write the tools.
So there's like a symbiosis over there. The people who are so hardcore that they want to be part of things like THC and Phenolit don't really have a problem with organizations like the CCC, although they sort of are separate but equal, sort of in the same way that our con circuit is different than 2600.
There are usually no people from THC or Phenolit or Team Teaser who don't come to the conferences from the CCC because they don't like the CCC.
So they do come. as we've been talking about it, one of the other major differences that we've noted between the American hacker scene and the European hacker scene is our events, our cons, they call some of theirs congresses, conferences, whatever you want to call it. So I think in the American scene, we have significantly more events than they do, and we have to travel farther for them. We have a state in the United States that's as big as Germany, so we have to do a lot more traveling. The cons, I think, here are not just CCC events or one of the other group events. They're organizations that come from different people individually in different places. So, as you know, people like Jeff Moss run DEF CON, people like Froggy here run Nauticon, people like Emmanuel Goldstein run Hope. And these people are not totally connected with one another. They're not part of the same organization. So this is a good thing in the sense that the cons that we do have all have their really unique characters, and they're really sort of different from one another. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Many of the people organizing the cons in Germany all belong to the same group, CCC. And you are on nearly every con, you have the CCC Stuttgart, CCC Rhein-Main, or whatsoever in the name of the con. We have about 5 to 6 who are there every year. The biggest one is the Congress, which is about 2,500 to 3,000 people. 16 gigabit of internet, phone system, radio system, what else? Lots of stuff.
Everyone. But we can boast that our conferences are sometimes much larger than yours. I think we could say that fairly that DEF CON is twice the size of the annual big congress in Berlin. They do have small events like this event, but I think we have more larger events, and we can talk about why that might be later.
Well, we can live really good because our country is not even half the size of America, so if you have double the size of people in your con, it's okay for us.
So, if you were to pick the single biggest difference, I think, between the American hacker scene and the European hacker scene, it really boils down to this one thing. And this one thing is public image. When you go to Germany and you hang out with people in the CCC and you read about their projects, you realize that they are much more loved by the public. They are loved by the public. They're in constant communication with their government. They have good jobs. They don't have to be ashamed of telling their grandmother that they're in the CCC. They don't have to have any really big discussions about it because it's in the media, it's in the public, and this is basically the opposite of what we have here. So I think that if you ask somebody at, you know, in the media what a hacker is, he's probably going to say a criminal of some kind or another. People who steal your credit card, or people who break into phone systems, or people who do whatever. So I think that this attitude is really, really, really key to the reason that our cultures are different. I think that it changes the demographic of the people who are in the scene, because people who are there are, it's a good thing for them to be in the scene. It's a good thing for them to get a job. And they put on their resume, I'm a proud member of the CCC. This is something that we have to skirt around, I think, most of us, depending on your job. So it changes the demographic. It changes the way that we're able to organize and the kind of events that we're allowed to throw. And as you know, many of these cons have had to move from place to place, right, because they're unwelcome at certain places after a while. Some of you might remember Rubicon, no longer, for example. I think I already talked about CCC for you. You want to say anything more? Don't we already do that? Projects.
Well,
for example, in this public image thing, why don't you tell us about Hackabike?
Hackabike was, we have this bicycles in the city in Germany who are run by the German Rail. You can enter, you can call them a number with your mobile phone written on the bike to get a PIN code, saying them the number of the bike, to get a PIN code for the bike and can drive away with the bike and just leave it somewhere else. So, as there's electronics in there, we thought that might could be interesting, so we got one, opened it. It was an Amtel board in there, which got a serial port, so we were able to change the firmware, and we implemented a code 2342 running at all the time. So you need to get up to a bike, modify it, and enter 2342. We changed with that about one third of the bikes available in Germany. We just rented a white transporter, got a big printer, German Rail, called a bike technical service on, got to the fan shop of the German Rail, bought those nice blue things, printed those cards you have with your picture and where you work, touched them there, go to the railway station and opened all of them there. And the security came up and asked, what were I doing? And we said, well, we're a technical service and we have the job to come here. And they said, okay, well, it all looked good. Good. This went for about 1.5 years. After that, it was not so easy to still keep it undercover, so it went up to the media. We decided to publish it in the Datenschleuder, which is our magazine. The boss of the John Rail said on the media in the evening, as he was asked about that, yeah, we'll go to the police with them. So we cleaned up our room, moved all our garbage into all the computer cases, wrote some things like, very important, call a bike, data on them, and let them all get picked up by the police. We have nothing coming up with that. We don't got in trouble for that.
So this is a very funny example, but why don't you tell them about what happened with the German Rail afterwards? Mm-hmm. There was a lawsuit, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, here's how I heard things. because of all of this Hackabike nonsense, the German Rail waited for a significant amount of time after all of this came to the media to place a lawsuit against the CCC for this. And the reason is because they were afraid that public opinion would come down on the side of the hackers. And can you just imagine that for a second? I'm the German rail system. I don't want to sue hackers because I think the public won't like me anymore. And that's cool, right? So this is the kind of difference of public opinion.
Yeah, that
changes.
That happened and got cut down really quickly by the state. So we don't have any big problems with the police and things being public. So after we publish something in Datenschleuder, usually the police steps by and says hello. And there are reasons for that. We might have said that.
Okay, so public image is a really huge thing. Another example, maybe some of you have heard about Blinken Lights.
Blinken Lights.
Blinken Lights, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, there was a building in Berlin which had very square windows, and the CCC installed lights behind each of the windows and used the entire building in the middle of a very prominent square in Berlin as a monitor. And you could write programs or use this fancy GUI that they made to send your messages across the building. This was the event of the millennium. This was the 2000 Berlin millennium event.
It was the next official Berlin party of the year 2000 was in front of this display on the so-called Alexanderplatz, which is a very famous place in Germany. The countdown for 2000 was on that building, and there are really many funny things, like you could play pong on the building.
Right, with your cell phone. You could dial a number and then use your keys to play pong on the building.
This
I have a few points about this. The first is that the city of Berlin wanted to use it for their display. They paid them to do this. I went to Berlin for the very first time for a 21C3. I went into a hotel where I was staying across the street from this building. Talked to some random people from Britain because there was some mix-up with the room, and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm here for the CCC Congress." And they said, "Oh, the thing with blinking lights and the pong in the building." Like, they're known, right? Like, this organization is in the media. It's in the public. It's constantly something that doesn't have to be, skirted around or said differently in the media or whatever, and it's loved by the public.
Blinken Lights had another project after that. They moved on to France. We were called by some people who had been in an art week in France, and we set up the Blinken Lights project after that in the National Library of France, which you can imagine is not so easy to get.
We are working very hard on bringing a similar kind of project to New York City. So if anybody's interested in helping out on a project like that, if you have funding or friends who have buildings in New York or anything like that, just talk to me afterwards. Okay, so we're going to briefly go over the rest of these differences that we think we have. Right, yeah. Why don't you just talk about that?
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have any connections to our politicians, right? Like, we may write letters to our senators and whatnot, but we don't have regular meetings with them. In fact, I think if one of us went to lunch with a senator and it got to the media, it would probably be a bad thing for the senator, right? So this is in contrast.
Yeah. If you Google CCC and lobby, you'll find up the CCC as an official lobbying group for the German parliament. So if there's any kind of law changement and new laws, recording the electronical stuff we play around with, we get informed. We don't have to inform ourselves. And for example, we had in the Mr. Taus, which is the speaker of the German government for new electronic media, as keynote speaker for the last conference on the 22C3. And those people don't have a problem showing up then with us and shaking hands on the conference and taking pictures.
A member of the CCC is an ICANN director.
Has been. Yeah, that was in Europe we elected our ICANN directors by ourselves, and the only thing you need to vote was an email address. So that's easy.
A movie was made in Germany about hackers, and it was screened at the CCC conference because they wanted the CCC's approval of the movie before it went to the public.
Which was the media thing they want to have. Just
could you imagine if they did that with us, with hackers? Like, right? Well, okay, not all of us. a few of our media icons, maybe. or swordfish. Did anybody talk to you about swordfish? Right? Okay. One of the next big things is how we bring in our next generation of hackers and how they bring in their next generation of hackers. This is different. For us, I don't really know how it works. Like, I think for girls, they just date people, and that's how they get in. That's how I got in. But for the rest of you, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. Maybe this is a little part of audience participation. I think it's mostly the magazine. Am I wrong? Does anybody have a...
You're wrong.
Okay. Tell me your story.
Personally, I think 2600 is a rag.
Well, of course. But how did you get in? How did you become part of the hacker culture that brings you here today?
Well, I started off on BBS back in the late 80s and early 90s.
All right. Well, for people who are not as old as you.
Wow.
Yeah?
I got started when I saw that my school stored it like a typing program where they learned like fingering and stuff.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. But how did you meet other hackers for the first time? Not how did you get into hacking, but...
I changed the typing program, so we had to type obscene phrases, and another kid that was already part of the song for most of it.
There we go. All right. So we have word of mouth, right? We have meeting friends and things that you're doing with hacking. And we have the magazine. Do you have anything else? How you come into the hacker culture? Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I wonder if those classified ads in 2600 have gotten any letters. Anybody else? No?
IRC.
Oh, God. Okay, anyway, so how do you bring in your next generation?
Well, we have all the magazine, we have the usual contacts you have. Many people come for the first time to the Congress, read it on a computer magazine, but the main thing what we changed is that we have a project called U23, where we want to get all the people under the age of 23. And then they have to do some things. For the last thing was, you might see that the hope was a snort light, which is a small thing to assemble, which can produce every RGB color for example, to enlight a room.
So it's three circuit boards, 27 LEDs, serial interface. And so they would bring in these kids that they would meet and advertise in universities and schools, have them do this contest to build these things, and the ones who were really into it would become the next generation.
The project started in Cologne, and they really go to the schools and help the computer science teachers to be lazy by let them talk and let them do the stuff. They have something for you, and I just can sit in the corner and read my things and do something else. And this, I think, U23 is the third round and the fourth round at the moment. We have some programming events. We have some robot build-up experiments before, so it's a different thing every time. And mainly the thing is to get those people in and to get the people something to do, not to sit around and ask every random people showing up, can you show me how to become a hacker? We, in this case, prefer them to do something, and when they build up the snort light by themselves and discover they got a serial interface or USB interface, whatever you build it, and they can program it and do those stuff, well, this is usually the easier thing to get them in contact with the Siemens to become a hacker at least. But
okay, so...
It is not making you have a hacker. Don't say you build the snort light and you're a hacker after that. But it's helping the people to get into the scene and to get in contact and to feel a bit of what those people think.
All right. So to segue into our conclusions, the last difference that we want to talk about is, it seems like we're having a big, happy Germany fest up here, right? Like, wow, Germany's so cool. Like, they're so much better than us at everything. Like their projects and their people, and they talk to the media, and they have all this radio show, and everything.
Beer,
they definitely have better beer. That's not contest. So that's not exactly the case, and here's why. I think that here in America we have a significantly different physical, political climate to deal with than they have in Germany. We have many more challenges to face as if we want to be hackers, if we want to be part of the hacker community, than they do. For them, they listen to the radio, or they go to some project, or they do whatever, and it's all sunshine and roses, right? Like, they get to be part of this cool thing, they get to do this cool stuff, and when they're done, they get to get this cool job and have all this, like, fancy cred, right? For us, I mean, the last time I visited my family, and this is me, okay, I'm a girl, I just talk, right? I don't know how to make a Fenord light, right? I was called a criminal by my entire family 3 minutes after entering their home the last time I saw them because I share music, okay? This is a political climate that we have. I share legal music with my friends. Back up, okay? So the things that we have to face to be in the scene and to do stuff for it is much greater. To go to these cons, we have to travel to places like Cleveland. Like Brooklyn is awesome. The political climate is very bad. When we do things, we have very serious political consequences. We get raided. Some of us go to jail. Like, fired. Yes, we stop having family and friends. Like, there's all kinds of consequences for us who do this. So I think that the people who are here and the people who are still coming to these events and the people who are doing their things in their communities are the heroes, because we have a whole lot to face, and you guys are doing it anyway. So we are doing cool things in America. We really are. Like the competitions that we have, the cons that we throw, and the projects that the groups that we have do. I don't know if any of you saw the Wi-Fi gun by Shmoo Group at DEF CON last year. I don't know if any of you saw the Anything But Ethernet contest here last year with the Lego printer and the guy with the flags, right? Like, we have cool projects here, and people are doing things here, and we don't have the infrastructure that they do, but this allows us some other things.
Yeah. Well, maybe ours is, in that point of view, a bit different, because, as I already said, we have rooms where you can gather in Berlin, for example. We have, I think some of them, you have been at the CCCB. This is a room, nearly open 24/7, where computers of, well, at least some thousand, most of them old used computers standing around there, people you can meet, and it's a trustful atmosphere. You can just drop your laptop there, come back 2 days later, he will be there. And it's just as we get more of the good people instead of, nobody would think of the CCC as the criminals, besides maybe the boss of the German Renault. But this gives just, this other, then you have different persons, then you have so many possibilities if you have a place to meet every day. And there are people who really come there every day after work, every day after university, every day after school. Where they can meet, they can change ideas.
Every day instead of school, like me, when I was there. Anyway.
And it's totally different. You don't have a problem, as already said. I'd write all the things I did with the CCC in my resume if I apply for a job. And this is the reason to get a job. Now, a university, usually you have some students running the minor computers and that stuff. I think it's the same over here. You have some students over here. And in our computer science department of the Technical University of Darmstadt, when they need a new administrator, we'll get informed 2 weeks in advance. And if we have some people who want to have a job, usually this never gets printed up somewhere. So it's the university realized that most of the people in there just did good jobs, and well, they prefer to hire us than to fight us. It's really a big, big difference in the scene. I was walking around, and you just see. Told me not to tell anybody outside the scene that I'll see myself as a hacker and that stuff, because this is not really always.
Well, not the taxi driver. Like.
It was us.
Okay. So we're going to draw some conclusions here. Oh, question.
Oh, I was just going to say, what I know in Germany is that there's more of a cultural inclination to joining a club. You know, you have like soccer clubs or sports clubs or different sorts of clubs outside of a school setting.
Yes.
Like in this country, you pretty much only join organization as an extracurricular activity. What about the Kiwanis Club? I get the impression, just in terms of cultural differences, that in this country we are, once we're out of school, we're not really like joiners.
More independent.
Like, exactly, very independent. You could say isolated or also insular. You know, and that combined with this kind of cultural paranoia. Where a lot of people feel that any kind of technical knowledge is a potential threat to national security.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, that attitude has actually picked up a lot recently.
Sure.
You know? So that if you have any knowledge of the interior workings of even a mag stripe reader, you know, like the girl at the grocery store is going to be, you know.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Well, this is yet another one of the differences that we have.
Now, that's all we're good. It's like it would be great if we could go in the direction of having an actual political entity, you know, that was recognized as whatever. If you watch the C-SPAN, you know, and you see the people from the EFF or the what's the other one, the privacy group in DC. I can't remember the acronym. You know, they don't. You know, they're basically like a lobbying organization.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, Prometheus Radio is a lobby organization also.
In terms of like hacker, like the EFF is more protection, but for political.
Oh, I'd nothing against the EFF.
Sure.
No, I mean, it's like, the EFF is like our version of the CCC, basically, in terms of a political entity, but they don't really do anything more regarding
it. You hit on one thing there. The way that the CCC is set up and recognized by the government there is something that we don't have. Like, they're named an official club with the government.
Yeah, we have the so-called Verein, which is a law person. So if you just set up a Verein club, you don't have to sign anything by yourself, and if something goes wrong, the...
Is it similar from a not-for-profit corporation?
It is dissimilar. It is dissimilar. The kind of...
Can be profit. Can make profit.
Well,
yes.
But that's not the biggest difference.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. The biggest difference is that, I mean, being a national group, you get certain benefits from that, right? Like, you get audience with parliament members, right?
Well, not everybody. You have
not everybody, but it...
be there for a while.
Elected member of your group, right?
And if you're the soccer club of Stuttgart, you won't get an audience with the German parliament.
Okay. But it is a political entity that they have that we don't have. The closest thing that we have is a nonprofit, but it's still not the same.
Well, I just think that it's not that uncommon of a thing for a club of people who are not in a school together or not working together in Germany, for a club to have a common space and a common projects or have, like, you know, a room like that.
Sure.
Whereas here, that's
sure. Well, this is... it's just one of many reasons, right? Like, the fact that we aren't a country of joiners isn't the only reason that we don't have a hacker culture. I mean, we have a hacker culture. Here we are. We're all independent.
Well,
I think location has something...
Not so many, but we have states.
I mean, if you drive 8 hours in Germany, you're on the other side, right? Like, so, and driving 8 hours from New York to here, it's like, oh, that's nothing. So
half of that is the speed on the motorways.
If you really want to get into it, you can come up with, you know, lots and lots and lots of differences that make our culture different from their culture. But one of the things that we want to conclude from all of this, from drawing all of these comparisons today, is what we can learn from each other. So we're going to talk about our biggest weaknesses and our biggest strengths, and your biggest weaknesses and your biggest strengths in your different culture. So, question?
We had some people from Austria and Switzerland in the CCC all the time. I don't think it's affecting the CCC at all.
What if they try to move over like their software patent law from Ireland over into other areas?
They tried to. We fought that successful. Well, they didn't come through.
There is certain friction already.
Yes, but the European law got united in that case for software patents, and they wanted to set up a law again that enables software patents in the European Union, and we have been successful in fighting it. We don't have it. The discussion is over. We won't get software patents.
Oh, we're not done. We're not done. We have a couple more things to say, and then we have a couple announcements. So how much time do we have left?
About
20 minutes. All right. So... I'm going to go quickly. We're going to do weaknesses, and then we're going to do strengths. So the U.S., what are our weaknesses? I'm going to tell you mine, and then you can tell me yours. I think that, in general, we don't have enough discussion between different, you know, enclaves of hacker culture. We mostly talk when we get together at cons, right? But otherwise, we're limited to the people in our area. Related to this, we don't have a central ideal or central infrastructure that gets them all of these different kinds of benefits, like money to have spaces and money to do projects. And by doing projects, they get a better public image, which lets them do more projects and have better spaces, et cetera. The projects that many of us think about and start here don't end up happening. And I think some of the number one reasons that they don't happen is we don't have money for them. We don't have time for them. We don't have the people for it. Or we don't have the space for it. You can only, you know, hack bikes with PIN codes in your garage for so long before your mom gets mad or your wife gets mad. Or you couldn't probably do it for a year and a half. And if you could, you probably couldn't do it again for another year and a half 10 years later. Right? We have a bad public image. At the end of the day, I think this is our biggest weakness. And whatever we can do to work on our public image, one of the things they do is they have, at their space, they have an open day every week. Sometimes they have people speak that the public can come in and listen to, or they have an event for the public, right? So whatever we can do to involve the public and make sure that they're not afraid of us and see the good things that we do, I think the more we're going to be able to fix all of these other weaknesses that we have. Do you remember? Yes.
Well, Jim said you had not enough discussion. We have the opposite problem. We have lots of too much discussion. Usually in the CCC, if you bring something up, it starts a discussion about months, thousands of emails written sometimes. And this gets to the point that, well, one part of the discussion is that really many people, I'd say less than, more than 30%, are really unwilling to break even minor rules. Rules is a big thing in Germany. if you can follow the rules, you can get nearly everything. It's no problem if you follow the rules to get a radio. You have to work through that amount of paper. But after that, you will get a license to transmit on the FM band for 6 days with, let's say, 50 watts, which ends up in an area of about 30 to 40 kilometers. And, yeah, really.
Swear, too, right?
Sorry?
You can swear.
Yeah, but they can't incite riot or talk about fascism. you know.
We can talk about those four-letter words, but we can't talk about there are some certain things who happened in Germany about 60 years ago, where you better do not talk about on the radio. Just
but this is in stark contrast to the Pi radio that we had 24/7 in Boulder, Colorado, at 150 watts, which had a range of about 40 miles at night. So, because we're willing to break the rules, we got this benefit for it. No paper.
Most of the people just don't like to break the rules and prefer to hack the system right on lots of paper. This gets to the point that very many projects in Germany just don't happen because of lots of discussions. We had some projects for the year 2000, and after the discussion was over, we had 2002. So.
Question?
Quick contract question.
Sure. We're getting to that, absolutely. I think that a lot of things, I mean, we at home in the Hacker Halfway House wanted to make a drink mixing machine so that we didn't have to mix our own drinks anymore. So you just go up to it and you say, I want a white Russian. I want it with soy milk, whatever. Right? So we thought about this a lot, and we drew up schematics, and we ended up buying some valves to play with, and we had all this stuff, right? And then, you know, people moved out, and it's 2 years later, and it doesn't happen, right? But we played with it, and we tried, and we had all this discussion. I think that this is in contrast to some of the projects in Germany where if it's not perfect, or there's not agreement, it just doesn't get started. Right?
Yeah. You have to have about 30, 50 to 100 people that belong to the side of the project to say, well, this is a good project, this is the way we do it, it's good, so let's do it.
Yes, you have enough people that you still get projects done.
Yeah. Well, over here in America, the people just get up and do something. And in Germany, we just form a circle and discover.
To this too much discussion end, as some of you might know, I worked on design for Hope 5, the Fifth Hope. And I also worked on design for 22C3 in Germany. working on design, and I had a great experience with them, not to say anything. But an example of too much discussion is we spent 3 weeks discussing the font of the small letters in the logo. We spent 3 days on the website. And this shows, right? So if you want to look into things, and this is because the logo went to the main mailing list, as far as I know, right? And it was open for hundreds of people to discuss. So by the time we made the website, which wasn't done until I think 2-3 weeks before the actual event, we had something there, but we didn't have all of the information, right? So you can see how this too much discussion can end up tripping over yourself and not getting your stuff done in that respect.
If you want to get something done, the main thing in Germany is to keep out the discussion, which is really not easy because if somebody will notice, you have the discussion.
For the artists out there, design is not a democratic process. Hitler was a designer. No, he was a designer. Okay. I'm serious. He failed as an artist, and almost everyone who fails as an artist becomes a designer.
So. I'm subcultures.
Yep. I'm a scene whore. Okay. I gave a talk about that at 21C3 if anyone's interested. Okay, a couple more.
Didn't it have intimidated?
Yeah, or this one. Both.
I'll get this one first.
Okay.
When people come to the CCC, you usually have, when they introduce themselves, they say, well, I'm 18 years old, speak at least 2 or 3 programming languages and all those stuff, and I haven't showed up at the CCC because I thought I wasn't good enough. What is the problem? Because there are really many creative people we would like to have who just don't show up because as we have a so good public view, very many people say, well, I think I'm not good enough to join them. And this keeps really many people out. This is a problem. I think you have more the opposite problem here.
Teach me how to hack. Okay. I think one of the strengths that we have here in the U.S., just to segue, is that I think a lot of the projects that we end up doing and a lot of the kind of events that we have, this is a perfect example here at Nauticon. I think most of us would agree that the hacker culture is a subculture, right? And our subcultures tend to overlap a lot with other subcultures, right? So here, we're going to have Nauticon, and we're going to have a rave, right? Like, in Colorado, we had hackers and goths, and they hung out, right? Like, I think in the hacker cultures, especially in maybe smaller places in, like, New York, you have a lot of overlap in different subcultures. So some of the projects that you end up doing are video projects, or music projects, or art projects, design projects, because you have all of these other people in your line of vision, right? Because our subcultures overlap. And this is in contrast to Germany.
The overlap of two other subcultures is really only really rare. You have
they overlap hackers and lockpickers.
And that's it.
Which I think we would just say the same.
You don't meet the people from CCC because you meet them in other subcultures. This is really much more divided in Germany. You're in the CCC subculture or the Hacker subculture, and that's it. You don't have anything like some people are hanging around with the goth, what we have in Germany, as you've probably heard. But it's not that we have some overlapping subcultures, except those where we are really close to them. For example, the lockpickers.
This is slightly different in Berlin, but mostly...
Yes. In Berlin, they have overlap a bit with the art scene, and they have other overlaps.
There's a very cool thing called CBase, which if you don't know about, actually.
The CBase itself is not a CCC project, but from people who... What was the sense? You can't create art and beauty with a computer?
Whatever.
You just want to say that this is not...
They're building a space station, okay? End of discussion. Okay, so we're going to go through the strengths real quick, and then we're going to wrap up and have some announcements. So, yeah, cool. Okay, so I think, why don't you tell me, what are the best things about American hacker culture?
Grassroots.
I'm going to say diversity, right? Like, the people who go to DEF CON and the people who go to HOPE, there are some that won't go. Right? Because they're just too different, right? I think that, and this overlap of soul culture and stuff, we get a lot of independent people doing independent projects, and these get to be really different, and we all learn from each other in that way. Okay, okay. We get a better sense of humor, they have better beer. This is important. Okay. Okay. I don't think we have to. Anything else? What's good about the American hacker subculture? Useful. That's interesting, and I have to say, objection, it depends on where you are. Absolutely. The scene in New York is completely different demographically from the scene in Colorado. So, depends on where you are. In Colorado, completely driven by people who are completely over the hill. And but they have their own thing, and it's really cool. And the useful scene in New York is useful. What else?
We're not as stratified. You shift through the scene, you talk to different people, there's very little like polite politics going on.
Definitely, definitely. People are real raw with each other. And I think that's, well. Okay. Well, I think it's a good thing. I think, this real fresh honesty is the kind of one of the things that we represent, right? So that's a good thing. And I'm going to go ahead and say that we're tougher because we have to face so much stuff that we just have to have the balls to go in and do it. So I think that that's one thing that we really have on our side. What about you?
What about us? I think the strength of the CCC is, as stressed so much today, the public image, allowing us so much. Giving having a bit of a problem with people coming into the scene, but just writing an email to the responsible person in the German government to invite him to show up at the 2233 talk about internet and that stuff, well, you can be quite sure that he will be there. You get buildings like, example, in France, the National Library of France, which, well, France and I think as the same proud country as the United States are, and it wasn't a really big problem to get those things. You can go to somebody, talk to them, you won't have any big problem with that. Yes. The next really big difference is the infrastructure.
Strength.
The infrastructure and the space. We have really many places to meet, which are usually rented places, so you can stay there after 24 o'clock, like 6 o'clock in the morning, drink beer, smoke.
You really can't imagine how this changes everything. I mean, when I went to Berlin, you can go to CCCB at any time of the day or night, and there are going to be people there, and they'll speak English with you, and you're going to be drinking Club Mate and getting really, you know, buzzy on the caffeine, and also drinking beer and watching movies and talking about political whatever. I mean, it's really sad, but I heard about New Orleans and the disaster from the Germans before I heard it here, because, like, they're just in tune with this stuff. So there's this huge amount of discussion all the time, and, like, sometimes they're just chilling out, and sometimes they're hacking bikes. Like, cool stuff. It really changes the dynamic of the area.
If anybody's interested. Yeah.
Tasty pastry.
People at San Diego have space. If you have
Walnut Factory.
You will. Something good will happen.
Yes.
Actually, there's a talk about a space failing.
Okay, if you have a space that you don't live in and you can't afford, good things happen. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
How important the space can you easily see when a new group of the CCC founds itself and gets the space? It just explodes what's happening there. You have the people sitting there around for, well, usually you have at least 3 to 4 days on the smaller one. Berlin is the biggest one, it's a different example, it's nearly 24/7. But on the smaller ones where you have spaces, you have 3 to 4 days where they open for about 6 to 8 hours. And if that happening, and then the people are joining there and meeting there, talking to each other, usually all the things come up besides discussion.
Yeah.
So I think we can. We're fine.
We don't really have one strength is we don't really have so much competition between the groups. There's no competition between the.
I don't know if competition is really the right word. Maybe grudges is the right word.
Drama.
No, they have drama. They have lots of drama. They have maybe more drama than us. But the people in the THC are going to come to the Congress, right? The people in Fino Elite are going to put on a 1,300 euro lightwork display, like, after the Congress, because they get along. It's no big deal, right? Like, even though they're different, even though they do different things, it's different. So here you have Emmanuel not going to Hope, and Jeff Moss doing everything he can to stop 2600, and basically, in my opinion. So that's another strength of them. So that's basically it. That's just wrapping up. That's our conclusion. That's what we think differences between them. The story as I heard it is that he went maybe 6 years ago, something like that, to DEF CON, and he was denied press credentials. Who, I guess, you know, if anybody in the scene gets press credentials, it's probably Emmanuel. But there's been this feud between them ever since, as far as I know. So real quick, before the next speaker, I want to make a couple announcements. If you guys have radios, FRS radios, we're on channel 4. That's going to be a channel your mom. we're having a party tonight in 522. So, come on by. Ten. Actually, we have to give away these raffle tickets real fast. First person who names the beer we've been drinking. Come and get it. What else? Anybody who has been to Germany or Europe and hang out the hacker scene there? Ever?
What other bands played before here?
What? Oh, with a song when y'all came in.
You already have one.
It's sort of like
oh, crap.
Okay, two more. What are questions?
Do you remember the room at the party tonight?
Well, the other announcement is Hope. I'm one of the organizers, and despite what you might think, it's going to be a really, really good time. I'm not serious. We do have a lot of cool people and a lot of cool projects working on it. So, and we're trying to get people from their individual 2600 or whatever your group is, wherever, to come and represent, bring your stuff, and sell it or share it or whatever you're doing. So you can write me, b9punk at b9punk.org, or you can write, I think, info@2600.com, or there's hope.net is the Hope website. There's email addresses there, too. So looking for volunteers and people to come. So who's coming to Hope? Who's coming to Hope who's not in New York? Come on up, get your raffle ticket.
Okay, as she has an announcement, I'll also announce some things. We have also some cons I'd like to invite you. We have in September the Meta Rheinmark Crowdfest, which is more smaller thing. But as American, it might be most interesting for you to show up on the biggest conference.
We'll see you in New York this summer.
But
I remember your face. If you don't come, I'm going to find you.
You have probably heard from the Talk of Hope that they have more German wiki than we have because the Congress of the CCC is completely organized in English. As we have the language problem in Europe all over, we need to...
We're really working on having this German-American bridge because I think there's a lot we can learn from each other. So we're going to have a lot of them come to Hope, and we want as many people as possible to go to the German Congress, particularly the Congress in Berlin in December, right after Christmas. It's a really good time. So.
And for example, we are trying